This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
My next guest's already here. They're coming in, and of course, we're going to be talking about cannabis in the next hour. So yes, cannabis, cannabis, cannabis. Are you growing it? Are you using it? Is it medicinal? Is it recreational? And let's find out about the legislation, the South African challenge to it, and how South Africans have taken to, of course, the new laws that came about after this particular break.
The station for news and talk. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
15 minutes to the top of the hour. It's very bad. It's very bad. It's very bad, as you would have heard there in the particular voice note. My three guests are already here. Dr. Lennox Mtsaki, President of the Black Farmers Association of South Africa. Herschel Marsdorp is Director for Business Development at Labatt Healthcare. I hope I've said that right, Labatt Healthcare. And the plant pathologist at the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development in the Northwest is Dr. Hangwani Muedi. And I'm going to invite all three of them into the conversation. Let me bring first Dr. Lennox Mtsaki into the conversation. Lennox, welcome to Power 98.7. Doctor, how are you?
Good evening, Denzel, to you and the listeners. I'm good, my brother, and how are you?
I'm sure. Are you? Let me say, since the legislation has been passed and, you know, things have happened around cannabis, do you have a little spot there in the garden where, you know, things are growing and you're looking after them and you're watering them pretty well? Or you know, you haven't bothered?
Yeah, we are planting. We are planting.
Dr. Lennox Mtsaki, we are planting. Let me go to...
Yeah, and we're doing very well.
I love that. I love that. Let me go to Herschel. Herschel Marsdorp, Director for Business Development at Labatt Healthcare. Herschel, welcome to Power 98.7. How are you, man?
I'm very well. Thanks, Denzel. Good to be here.
Same, same. Let me bring Dr. Hangwane Muedi into the conversation. Plant pathologist at the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development in the Northwest. Dr. Hangwane Muedi, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. And I do know we've had this conversation with the Northwest before. The Northwest wanting to take the lead in this particular sector also. And I think not so long ago, last year, you actually had with the University of the Northwest, you actually had some form of conference that you were, you know, initiating and beginning to have conversations. So let me start with you, Dr. Hangwane Muedi. Having looked at the Northwest as a province that wants to, you know, take on the particular plant and cannabis per se, and actually begin to, you know, work on it in a massive economical scale so that it actually begins to create jobs and begins to, you know, bring in the kind of revenue for the province that you hope so. How did that particular conference go? Because there was that initiated conference between government and the university at a particular point. And then, of course, right, it would have laid the foundation for everything that you wanted to do in that particular province.
Yes, absolutely. But first off, please allow me to greet yourself as well as your listeners.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Well, to the cannabis Likutla that was hosted in collaboration with the University of Northwest Mafikeng campus. Yes, that was a great success. We hosted quite a number of renowned, individuals, you know, and even entrepreneurs around the cannabis industry. And as a result, you know, there were some very informing discussions that we held and the outcomes thereof, you know, in terms of economic potential of the industry. That was explored to some great length. And the exciting news is also that we had active engagements of traditional practitioners, as well as those who have been actually working in the industry illegal as it was, you know, from the beginning, and to discover that, you know, there is such wealth of knowledge in terms of production of this crop, and also, you know, identifying opportunities that can actually uplift, you know, the lives of ordinary people in the province. You will understand that, you know, as a province, the Northwest is largely a rural area, wherein if you look at the part of the objectives of the Cannabis Master Plan, it actually speaks to developing rural areas as well. So yes, it was a great success, and we are actually looking forward to the relaxing of, you know, parts of the legislation, so that we realize the full potential of this plant. Thank you.
So apart from Lekgotla and having, you know, talks on cannabis and hemp, the practicalities. Let me just, you know, try to find out what the Northwest is doing in a practical space. You've got you know, huge scale, large scale farming. You've got small and medium scale farming. You've got traditional leaders who really want to come into the space. You've got small business people who want to come into the space. There's lots of opportunity. So in the Northwest per se, how is it practically rolled out? Even as you talk of the relaxing of some of the legislative issues, and you know, we can talk to the various acts that are there also, and the opportunities in that constitutional ruling. What's the picture in the Northwest? Is there movement? Has it gained traction? Have people come on board? Are the first crops to be seen already? What's going on?
Yes, absolutely. There is a movement, although it's not, you know, it's going as fast as we would have wished. However, yeah, there's quite a number of farmers and also, you know, other potential role players in the value chain who have come through and actually applied for permits, and successfully so. As I speak to you, there are quite a few farmers who are making strides into the industry, and they have actually planted and also mainly for medicinal purposes. Some of them are actually even looking into improving their, you know, workforce, you know, in terms of job creation. We have a few examples, and one here in the Dr. Kenneth Kaunda district, who is looking into really hiring tens of you know, employees as this enterprise grows.
Sure.
I'm in constant communication with one of the farmers in the Ngakamdirimulima district, wherein he's also looking into skilling the, you know, rural community. And he has actually, you know, received support from the side of the department, from the side of the local municipality there in his area, wherein, you know, his enterprise is really coming together. I think it will be a matter of months before we actually, you know, see things taking shape. And that establishment actually even, you know, absorbing individuals for
living purposes. Yes. Lennox, you want to give us an overall perspective of what's going on in the Black Farmers Association, you know, and how people have taken to the crop, and if not, and whether legislation is still a problem. I see Hangwani there talking about, you know, some of the legislation being relaxed, or wanting to relax some of those aspects of it. How have we taken to you know, that historical constitutional court, you know, judgment that was made, and the doors were opened, and suddenly we could, and everybody was happy. But has it materialized into something that's, you know, productive and in the field, and the economy is working, and we can see actually, you know, we can see something on the table?
From the Black Farmers Association and our affiliate, number one, I like your statement that you have made, that relates to the historically judgment that was made.
Mm.
The people that were fighting for that judgment, none of them are license holders.
Ooh.
The rural areas that we talk about, Emampondweni, no one is representing them except Bifasa. There's none of Emampondweni people that are sitting with a license. And our own government is consulting white people, not black people. Our own government. So we as Bifasa, we've picked up that, yes, the ruling was in favor of our people to get these licenses. But these licenses were not meant for black African people. These licenses were meant for white people, not for black people.
Linux, when you say licenses, is it the same language as a permit? Are those two things different?
There's a license for for Section 22C. That is for medicinal purpose. Those licenses are licenses that are given to the white wealthy people. Black African people are not catered. Let me unpack why I'm saying this. Black African people don't have the funds, number one, to pay for that $25,200. To have their licenses drafted, they don't have those funds. And also, to put up a structure with a minimum of $5 million, they don't have that money. You see? So, what we said as Bifasa to SAPRA, SAPRA, look at this. And also, our preamble of the Constitution makes it loud and clear that those who were oppressed, previously disadvantaged, should be prioritized in all government businesses. Meaning that you cannot issue a license without a BEE compliance. Licenses today that are issued to white companies. Some licenses are issued to foreign companies that give our people 3%, you know. So there's a lot. And we as the Black Farmers Association, with other affiliates of us, we've been fighting for this. It's only now that we had a round table with SAPRA. And SAPRA finally listened to us. And our last meeting on the 29th of November was one of the best meetings that we ever had as Bifasa with the CEO, Dr. Buitumelo Simete, and her team, you know. You can see after we put pressure to them, they start to unpack and assist us. Today, as we speak, Bifasa is putting up a facility that is 2,600 squares under roof. We are 80% with that structure. Our plan is we want those that cannot afford to possess a license. I'm not going to talk about a permit because with a permit, you cannot sell. It's a research permit. You see? So I'm going to talk about a license.
The license, yeah.
Yes.
The license is the practical element.
Yes. A license allows you to export the license. A permit, it's a research permit. You can grow, burn it, grow and burn. You cannot sell with that permit. So what we are going to be doing as Bifasa, we had a meeting with our stakeholders, and it was decided that we put up a structure as Bifasa, as agreed with SAPRA,
we should put a structure. And then we are busy putting up that structure.
Mm.
And then after the structure, we are going to accommodate our people.
Mm.
Our people can come and plant and learn from the structure, because we want to remove the perception from also our government that our people cannot plant. So it's a certain color that can plant. That is wrong. Emampondweni, there's no white people staying there. It's black people that are staying in Emampondweni. They've been planting this cannabis for years. Now, with the new system, they are left out. Those people need to be given a chance also. Bifasa will do that. And there's another structure coming very soon in Elusikisiki. Ingwe College is putting up a structure working with Bifasa. But the plan is those that cannot afford those 25,200, Bifasa will give them permits to start planting, to start learning about the game, and also to create more jobs for them, because our people, we've got a lot of people that are using these indigenous plants to cure people for cancer and that, you know. Those people, up to date, there's big companies that are listed to the stock exchange that are blocking them, that they cannot put this stuff, their medication to the shelves, you know. So we want to create jobs. And we've got Sangomas that are under Bifasa. We've got traditional leaders. And I'm also a member of the Pan-African Council of Monarchs. You see? So all those people, we trade with indigenous plants. We as Bifasa, we are going ahead putting up dispensaries. We are issuing permits to our dispensaries. Those that are curing people using the cannabis and other medication, we want them to be promoted, and so that people are aware that, like, cancers, bed sores, they can cure those things, and they do cure them, you know. Though that medication, although we are going to assist them to take the medication for further research processes, once that is done, those people can take their medication and put it direct to the shelves. And our government is not assisting those people. So we decided that as Bifasa, let us do what we can do, assist our own people, our brothers and sisters that are working with this medication, to put their medication to the shelves. So we are running a container system that we are going to have. We are going to put containers for them. We're creating jobs for them. They can have a container. That container will have the medication, cannabis, that they are using to cure people. You know, we are going to regulate them. We're not going to break the law. We just want to fast-track the process, because this process is moving for one side, is not moving for the custodians of this cannabis. There's not even one single Rastafarian that has got a license. Why? And the Rastafarians are the most people that were beaten up by the apartheid police for nothing, for being a Rasta, you know? So we know this, the history of this thing. But those custodians, none of them are sitting with that.
Lennox, I'm going to pause the conversation there. I have to go to the 11 o'clock news. Herschel, I'm going to pick up the conversation with you after that. Lennox, painting a picture there for us between those with money and those who don't have money in the cannabis industry. And I didn't think it was going to get to that, because obviously I just thought everybody was going to be able to grow cannabis and, you know, and be able to market it and go to market with it. If you listen to Lennox Mchachi there, a very different picture created. Let's go to the news.
On FM, online, and DSTV channel 889, this is Power 98.7.
9 minutes past 11 o'clock, Yolande there showing me fingers, pointing and saying, you're on air, young man. And of course, it's 9 minutes past 11 o'clock. It is. Still Power Perspective. It is Power 98.7. My guests, of course, in the last half an hour, we're unpacking the South African cannabis industry and its potential to become a global leader in the cannabis industry. And if you're listening to Dr. Lennox Mtshahi there, real problems to take it to that one contended aspect of being a global leader, as you would have heard there. Struggling to get off the ground and struggling to be promoted amongst Amampondweni and then also in areas like, of course, Port St. John's, Lusigi Sigi, Mthatha, Mqanduli, Flagstaff, Mount Frere, and those particular places, which would, of course, form part of Amampondweni. So let's go to Herschel Mastroff. Herschel, you've heard what's going on in the Northwest, some strides being made there. Dr. Lennox Mtshahi, beginning to tell us what the lay of the land also is. Herschel, your experiences and contextualized, are your experiences the same? Where are you and where's the debate with you where cannabis is concerned?
Mr. Taylor, thank you so much.
Sure.
I must tell you that we really do enjoy the dynamism of the conversation.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Sure, man.
Absolutely, indeed. I'm rather fortunate to be in the company with the BFASA and ARC for this conversation.
Mm.
Of course, we are a listed business in the cannabis sector.
Mm.
We're very, very encouraged.
Mm.
By the fact that our revenue is turning after 3 years of investing millions of rands.
Mm.
So no doubt, Dr. Lennox is certainly correct, that the kind of investment that's required to be viable as an enterprise for cannabis is significant.
Mm.
But I think it's important that we just quickly just understand that cannabis thus far in South Africa has been legalized for private use at the constitutional level.
Sure.
Number one.
Mm.
As far as trade,
is that the same terminology as recreational use?
Well, firstly, it's important for me to disqualify. We prefer to use adult use.
Sure.
Recreational.
Sure.
I think it's an important distinction that we need to bring.
Okay.
There are certain regulations that's applicable to recreation. You don't just use cannabis just because you want to. There's issues that's applicable in the social kind of architecture. But yes, as far as recreational personal use is concerned, constitutionally you have the human right to use cannabis for your purposes, and you can grow cannabis for your own personal use. That's it. There was a requirement of 2 years after the 18th of September 2018 for certain regulatory requirements to be in place to begin to preside over the conduct of society with regard to how it is that we release this molecule into society.
Mm.
That still is in the ambit of use, of your adult use of cannabis.
Mm.
Trading cannabis, thus far, has been dealt with in the ambit of getting a license to cultivate it and to export and to trade internationally.
Mm-hmm.
That's where trade begins and ends as far as our regulatory framework is concerned. And I agree with our other contributors in this conversation that there are significant limitations and you are predisposed to disenfranchise those over the last 40 to 80 years trading with cannabis in the world. Let us quickly just contextualize, as you've requested. South Africa is the third biggest supplier of cannabis in the world. Yep, that's significant.
Wow.
So there's a lot that it is that we know. This is very important, right? And that means that the distance between the regulatory framework that we have right now, or the lack of the regulatory framework we have right now, and the opportunity to impact household economics or to have social impact in South Africa from the proceeds of economic activity and enterprising activity, there's a big, big, big gap in that regard. So I share the same sentiments with BFASA. I share the same sentiments with Dr. Lennox.
Let me ask you a question, Herschel. You say South Africa is the biggest supplier in the world. Is this in the short period from when legislation began to turn, from 2020? Because obviously before...
And it's not 2020, it's 2018.
2018, sure. So from 2018 to this particular period, we've become the third biggest supplier in the world.
No, we've been the third biggest supplier in the world for the last 50 years. Very, very important observation, very important matter to observe.
Sure.
That is the status, okay? Not only are we the third biggest supplier in the world, and these statistics that I'm referring to, it's not subjective. This is as far as the International Narcotic Control Board and the World Health Organization is concerned.
Okay, now I get what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, we have about 900,000 growers in South Africa.
Mm.
In addition to that, we have about 350,000 traditional leaders, traditional healers, eligible to be able to grow for the purposes of medicinal use.
Mm.
So we're a major player. In fact,
what's the difference then between before 2018 and after 2018?
Well, this is exactly the reference that that Lennox makes.
Mm.
He says that. In fact, this is the same conversation that we are having in our current discourse with the authorities.
Mm.
We are saying, by virtue of you legalizing cannabis in the way that you have, as far as Section 22C of Act 101, 1965 is concerned, right, the Medicinal Act, you've literally drew a line and disenfranchised those who's been the cannabis character of our region.
Mm.
Because, Denzel, it's so important for me to share with you, and I'm sure our other contributors to this conversation will agree, our biosphere, the year where we are growing cannabis in this space, is prolific. It's literally like, if I may say, and you can pardon me for the reference, but it's the champagne region for cannabis sativa, for all the cannabinoids, the terpenes, and how she proliferates and grows.
Mm.
And for that purpose, I'm referring for the conversation regarding our land races.
Mm.
Those cultivars or those chemovars, which are the references to the different strains, how it grows here and what it offers in its genetic profile is not just significant as far as its cannabinoid profile is concerned, but particularly for its medicinal contribution. And purposes, right?
Sure.
So there's a lot of work for us to be done. And so when the SONA address delivers from our president the lip service, I've now become rather known for attacking this particular disposition of government, where they talk about the liberalization and industrializing cannabis and industrial hemp at the SONA level. But all of these different legislative frameworks or pieces of legislation, whether it is safety and security, whether it is health, whether it's agriculture, whether it's correctional services, is untouched. There's no enabling kind of mechanisms put in place for parties that will begin to regulate it locally.
Mm.
So when we talk about local trade, how it is that we'll be able to organize the stakeholdership in South Africa just by virtue of what it is, this treasure chest upon which we rest, this opportunity that we have for South Africa. It's important that we must internalize that the cannabinoid profile and the product that we offer to the world, we know this at a very, very highly corporate level.
Mm.
The product that we offer is superior. The quality of our product is, right? So we are sophisticated in the way that how it is that we cultivate and how that we offer this product to the world. But unfortunately, until now, it is through the illicit markets.
Mm.
But in 2021, just about 24 months ago, South Africa exported illicitly just short of 3,000 tons of cannabis to the rest of the world, as per the United Nations World Health Organization. As far as legal cultivators are concerned in South Africa, we didn't even touch 3 tons. In 2021.
Mm. Let me go to Dr. Hangwani. Dr. Hangwani, sitting there in the Northwest, I'm listening to Lennox and I'm listening to Herschel. And Herschel's talking about the kind of money they've put in, so many millions, and they're only beginning to see it turn roundabout now, 3 years later. And you're at the beginning stages of this particular journey. But then when I listen to Lennox and what Lennox is particularly talking about and how people are being left out of this particular, you know, entity, then I can only imagine you've got an uphill battle. And do you know you've got an uphill battle?
Yes, absolutely. My fellow, guests this evening, they are very spot on in terms, you know, of the capital that actually is required to have this kind of enterprise up and running. It's very costly. It is very clear. It's very costly. That is why, you know, some of them, they do actually struggle just to get the license to start with. Yeah, let alone, you know, to actually be able to have the right or appropriate infrastructure in place. Because we are talking here a lot about the export market, which comes with its own conditions and expectations, you know, to say the plant should be grown under controlled environment or, you know, a greenhouse tunnels, which if you tell that to someone in a rural area, really, you are speaking a very foreign language. That is why, therefore, you know, if the Department of Agriculture, even the National Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, decided to step in to say, we can offer a hand, you know, to as far as we can in terms of financial support to those that are prepared to actually, you know, go into this industry.
I was going to ask you how, Doctor, because Lennox obviously is talking about, you know, creating an umbrella body through, of course, the Black Farmers Association of South Africa and creating a black farm, you know, an umbrella and bringing all everybody in and bringing the skill in and bringing the small, you know, the small and traditional, you know, leaders in and all the groupings that obviously, you know, that do circle the crop. How as a department in the Northwest would you begin to see your assistance to somebody and people who do want to start, you know, working the crop? What would that kind of assistance be?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if I give an example, you know, of what they call a CASP funding, wherein I said in some of those meetings where applications were being evaluated, and there were a few, you know, to do with the cannabis there. And looking at the potential of this industry, you know, it was decided then to actually support such an initiative deliberately, because should it happen that, you know, such farmers or whoever wants to play any kind of a role in the value chain are not deliberately supported. You know, this whole thing of the industry that's so worth so many billions of rands, it will remain just a talk. So yeah, those are platforms which through which farmers can get assistance. And even out of the cannabis Lekgotla of September 2022, discussions also touched on that, to say this cannot be a one man so to speak show. You know, different stakeholders need to come together and actually, you know, try to assist one another, even if it, you know, with respect to research, which needs to inform, you know, what exactly would actually work best under which environment. That is why, therefore, the IKS, or the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Center of the Northwest University, was so actively involved so that they pass knowledge to those participating. And yeah, this will come again, the invitations for funding. And not to say, you know, it will be it will cover all the needs of the farmers, but to some extent, reasonably, yes.
Sure.
The department is prepared to do that.
Sure.
As I speak to you this evening, you know, I received a WhatsApp message earlier on this evening from one of these beneficiaries who actually had water drilled on his farm today.
A borehole, yeah, a borehole.
Yes, a borehole, yes. So it's this kind of support that it was realized that if we do not go to this extent, you know, our farmers will be left behind, and that will be, you know, highly unfortunate that after they actually trailblazed the whole industry for years and years, now at a time where they are supposed to reap the fruits of this hard work, then they are somehow left behind.
Sure.
So
sure.
That support, yeah, should be maintained, and we look forward to do our best to try and even, you know, incorporate many other role players going forward in terms of supporting them financially. Mm. Yes.
Lennox, let me come back to you, Lennox, and I want to pick up on what Herschel was saying. And I'm listening to Hangwani here talk about, you know, provincial assistance coming on board. But you painted a really, really, you know, difficult picture for us where you know, those people who would have started the conversations, who would have initiated, you know, action and the conversations are pretty much left behind. And you're talking about Amapondweni and the areas of Lusigisigi, and you're creating that umbrella, really, well, my anticipation is you're creating an umbrella body. But when I listen to Herschel Marstorp, and he says, you know, after 3 years, we're beginning to see or bear the fruits of our crop and our product, but we've had to put in millions and millions and millions of rand. When you're going to have to do that, you're going to have to, for every single individual and small-scale farmer and assistance that you give, you're going to have to put in millions and millions of money before you even see the kind of, you know, results that you want to see. But at the end of the day, you're thinking it's going to be worthwhile from a developmental aspect as well, and also from a product and economy aspect.
Let me jump in.
Mm.
Herschel said, made a statement that 300, I think, 1,000 tons are going out of South Africa.
Mm.
There's not even 1% that is coming from black South Africans to what is going out of this country.
Mm.
You see? And for people to take a grandstand to say 300,000 is going out of this country, but the indigenous owners of this, none of them are participating.
Mm.
And also, it goes back to the statement I've made before that this was engineered for the rich people at the cost of the black people.
Mm.
So, we as Bifasa, we know there is money to be laid out in order to make money.
Mm.
You see? Mm. We are not assisted. We are doing this. But we are going to make a U-turn. We all abide by the Constitution of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Those super rich that receive these licenses without the compliance with people that they know in high offices will have to give that money back for rural development in the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
Because the law is very straightforward. We all abide by the Constitution, not certain of us, all, even the president, abide by that Constitution. So the Constitution, when it suits certain people, is set aside. That is why today our people are not in this industry.
Mm.
And it's very painful, you know. There are people that have been planting this, people that went to jail. Some of them went to school. They got degrees through this.
Mm.
But today it's not for them. It's for certain people.
Mm. Some people have records because they would have been found with the cannabis in their possession.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know? So what I want to say, the initiation of this license issue did not cater for black people at all. And also our government did not consult the grassroots.
Lennox, how do we fix that? How do we fix that element of consulting and empowerment? And as you say, it might not have happened. So how do we fix it? What do you want to see happening so that it's fixed?
You know, my brother, we've got four associations in South Africa for farmers. I've got Ronnie McKenzie, the president of FUSA, Tate Matlala, NAFU, and Tate Mthembu of AFASA. I bet with you, none of them were consulted when this bill was tabled. None of them was consulted. BFASA, because of we were spearheading this already, we managed to submit debate on this. But a way forward now, a damage control, is very simple. Our government need to revoke those licenses that are non-compliance. And our people need to be assisted in order for them also to benefit, because this is their gold. They need to be assisted. If BFASA did not stand up on certain issues, we were assisted by Ronnie McKenzie, the president of FUSA. He did assist. Rastafarians, General Tau Tau, did also assist. The Delft Chamber, Khoi Khoi Sons, Harashat, everyone. We were more than 25 stakeholders when we went to SAPRA, you know, and we did not fight for us. We fight for all. There were people coming all the way from the district of Mount Aleef. They were released there by Alfred Nzo, released also people, and they give them a bus. Chief, I think it was Chief Sigau that organized that, showing that people want their gold to be given back to them or to benefit from their gold. A way forward is the government have to relax laws for black people. They have to relax laws for black people. Even Sangomas that are operating are targeted. You know, Sangomas have to plant. Sangoma cannot go and buy. Herschel is not allowed to sell the stock to a Sangom. You know? So that red tape is still there, you know? But we as BFASA, we have a plan. And our plan, in 3 weeks' time, we will reveal our plan. That will benefit all South Africans. When I say all South Africans, the cake is big. There are white people that also cannot afford to be in this, that are with us, you know? All, but we need first to cater also as well. When I say all, we need to cater for the traditional leaders, your traditional healers, your Rastafarians, your Khoi Khoi, must also benefit from this. Our plan is for them to benefit. We are not closing the door to say this thing is for black people only. No, it is for all, but we need to follow the procedure. And also we need all of us, we abide by the law. And the law is guided by the constitution of this country. So there are, as I was saying, there are people that don't abide by the law when it suits them. In this cannabis, we want this thing to be reviewed. And we want all the farmers, the associations of the farmers, also to sit on that board. Because they've got farmers that are interested in this business. But
they are not given a space to operate or to participate in this industry. So this industry, it's an industry that is going to look like the gold industry, you know, and the diamond industry. If we are not putting our foot down, it is going to be that way. But as I've mentioned before, on the 29th, it was the a second time a round table, because it was COVID. We used to have Zoom meetings with SABRA. The 29th, everyone was free, and SABRA unpacked, Dr. Boitumelo Simete unpacked, and we listened, and she did give us crucial information that we wanted. So we are going to implement some of that information she gave us. And we are, that's why I'm saying we will be regulating our own farmers by giving, arming them with permits to operate and dispense. After that, we are going to unpack our plan. We've got a plan that is going to benefit everyone.
Sure,
we will unpack that plan very soon, you know, because also I've noticed something. Our government will initiate, but when it comes to implement, I mean, implementation of what is initiated by them, it does not happen. It does not happen. And especially with the cannabis, because they consult white people. They don't consult black people, you know, and that is an insult that we are facing. Even when it comes to farmers, they take farm managers that are white, they run those farms down. We've got a crisis. Farmers know about this crisis. I'm not hiding it, you know. So our government's mentality needs to change as well. They work with us. They need to consult us, not to go and consult white people. They think white people, they are going to make us now to think white people are superior than us, of which it's not. We all equal, and we all have the same rights. They need to change that mentality and consult their own people, because it's their own people that are sitting with the problem. I'm not going to hold back on that, because it is what we are facing every day. My colleague, next time when you invite me, invite Ronnie McKenzie from FUSA. He will tell you. I'll close my ears. He will tell you what I'm telling you.
Ronnie McKenzie.
Yes, from FUSA. He's the president of FUSA.
I will do that. I definitely will do that. Lenos, let me go to Herschel. Herschel, some interesting dynamics here, but it's...
I will not respond to.
Yes, please. There's so much going on.
No. Thank you, Denzel. You know, I must just, for the record, I must state that, you know, I'm in the rural areas of the Western Cape at the moment, with Craig Waddell. I'm dealing with our industrial hemp. I'm with City Department of Agriculture, Rural Development Land Reform. I'm with a proposition as far as our community consultation is concerned, and how it is that you will work with your small-scale farmers in this particular area. Secondly, I want to state that, you know, we are more than open to engage with the FASA as first movers, as it were, having gone to the cold face, you know, to the cutting edge, to understand exactly what the limitations are and what the typical kind of constraints are as far as cannabis trade and economic beneficiation is concerned. You know, Brian Finroy and our group CEO is rather open, and he's given us a mandate to look at rural agriculture practice for those who've been in the game all these years, and how it is that we begin to ensure that we don't disenfranchise people in the sector. So I want to put that on the table for the record. We want to collaborate and want to ensure that those things that we've encountered in the international market and those constraints in the local market as far as trade as economics is concerned regarding the commodity or with regard to the biomass or the active ingredient, whatever it is, how it is that you refer to the product that's being grown.
Sure.
That is our general disposition. We do know that in the collective practice that results in the collective benefit is how it is that we should look at the world. The one thing that we must really try and avoid is having a high-quality product, which is what we do definitely represent. And I think Dr. Lennox would not disagree with that.
Mm.
I don't think the Agriculture Research Council or the Northwest Province would disagree with that. That quality of product that we represent is being dictated to us for how much it is we can sell it. That's firstly for the international market.
Mm.
I mean, what we're selling at the moment, by us implementing the current regulatory framework of South Africa, we have found practically that the product that we are selling as a finished product to be dispensed and sold overseas is being sold overseas at up to 600% margin, and we get the tail end of it. In the same way that the wine industry has gone, or our mining commodities have gone, where we export our material and we buy it back, or it's available in the international market at a highly a marked up price.
Mm.
So we must avoid that, because we have this one opportunity. Cannabis makes so much possible for South Africa as a proposition.
Sure.
It's important that I just want to make that clear.
No.
I think as far as the metrics are concerned internationally, we have the opportunity now. And I say that because we work with rural communities in the Eastern Cape. It's highly unlikely or viewed with circumspect that a JSE, Stock Exchange listed company, a duly listed company in Frankfurt in Germany, also works with people on the ground. The issue with South Africa's disposition or the framework for South Africa, having explained earlier, of course, of what our status is in the world, is that we also have to discerningly spend mental energy, efforts, and strategy about how it is that we migrate the illegal market into the formal economy. This is now a recognized new measured commodity, right?
Sure.
It didn't exist before.
Mm.
Even though the knowledge infrastructure, that which we know, our indigenous knowledge systems, with regard to the land basis and the proposition that we offer the world, has not been measured before.
Mm.
We are now able to do that.
Sure. Lennox, let's end it there. Herschel, I have to take a break and I have to move on. Herschel, it's been an interesting conversation, and I'm definitely going to bring you back here for a follow-up on this.
I look forward to it. I haven't had much opportunity, so I will look forward to that.
Thank you so much. That's Herschel Marsdorp, of course, Director for Business Development at Labatt Healthcare. Dr. Hangwani Mwedi, I have to say thank you, sir, for coming on board as well, and thank you for an interesting conversation, an eye-opening conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And that's Dr. Hangwani Mwedi. Dr. Lennox, Utsahi, I have to say, and I have to put it to you, that some people are making so much money and other people are just left out of it altogether. If you're listening, of course, there to Herschel Marsdorp,
yes.
making a lot of money, a lucrative space. And you say others are just left out in the cold, and yet they were the initiators and they were the planters of it, and they were the owners of it.
Yeah. You see, what breaks us is that people take a grandstand after stealing what belongs to black people.
Mm.
And we are not going to leave it that way. Those licenses have to be revoked, and the proceeds...
Can they do that, Lennox? Can they actually do that?
Yes, because according to the Constitution, the way they obtained the license, those licenses, they did not follow the correct procedure. And on top of that, are you aware SAPRA is using a act of 1965? So 1965, who in this government was part of that act? It's an insult.
Who was part of that act in this present government?
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to this, but we are going to go ahead and implement as BFASA what we plan to do with our stakeholders and help those that are in need in terms of skills transfer, empowering people. And people are talking about creating jobs. We want to create ownership, not jobs only. Our people are not workhorses. They have to have also ownership of the land.
Ownership of the supply chain as well.
Sure. That is what BFASA is for. And that is the people we represent, and they are also in the same mind that they have to own. They cannot work for life, and they must be part of the of this business. They cannot be left out of the business. Hence, our people, when these are those that are curing people with these medicines, they don't want to give other people the know-how of doing the medication, because they know it's going to end up with the white people, and they will be left in the cold. You know, so we want those people to come on board, start producing their medication, be assisted in terms of putting their medication on the shelf. Currently in South Africa, the CBD oil that you see on the shelves, it's fake CBD oil, and no one is checking it. It's fake. I've checked it. You can go and take one, take it to a laboratory. The results will show it's fake. You know? And they just keep quiet about that. But if it was a black person that had a product that was a fake, it was going to be removed with immediate effect.
Dr. Lennart Msaki, I'm going to bring you back here, sir. And of course, I've taken your advice also on Ronnie McKenzie from
welcome,
FUSA. And let's see how far actually we can get in the conversations around cannabis and begin to engage everybody in the supply chain, from those who started the conversations, those who were using it, those who owned it before. And thank you so much.
You are welcome, my brother. My brother, how do I get the podcast?
Tumelo is looking at me. He's going to send it to you, sir.
Pleasure.
Thank you. That's Dr. Lennart Msaki. Yes, asking for the podcast. President of the Black Farmers Association of South Africa. Well, if you listen to some of the conversations, if you listen to, of course, Herschel Master there, who is Director for Business Development at Labatt Healthcare, they're making a lot of money. Yes, and other people are not.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.